Good evening. We are coming to you live from the KWOJ 102.5 studio in San Angelo, Texas. This station is a work of the Ninth and Main Church of Christ. We're grateful you've tuned in tonight and hope you have your Bibles handy. Mike Bonner and Royce Williamson will be leading our study again tonight. And if you want to be turning to Philippians 3 in your New Testament, they'll be meeting you there in just a moment. There are a couple of different ways that you can listen tonight to the broadcast. If you have Alexa, you can simply tell her to play KWOJ, or you can also go to our website at kwoj.org. There's going to be a Listen Live button at the bottom of your screen that you can click on and access the live stream that way. We'd also like to give you our contact information, and the reason for that is that we're going to be live for the next hour, and we'll be monitoring our phone line and email account during that time to take your comments and questions. So if you hear something tonight that you'd like to be explained, if you'd like a free copy of tonight's study, whether in a CD format or an MP3, we can do that as well. If you want to study the Bible stone in your own home and you'd like more information about that, we can help you with that as well. Or if you just want to let us know that you're listening, we'd love for you to reach out and let us know where you're listening from. Let me give you that contact information. You can text us at 325-284-8182. That's 325-284-8182. 8182. And again, as always, we won't be taking live calls, but if you want to call anyway and leave a voicemail, we'll try to get back with you as quickly as we can. You can also email us at BibleStudy@kwoj.org. Now, before we begin, let's have a word of prayer together. Father in heaven, thank you for the blessing of this day. Thank you for the small improvements that we're beginning to see throughout the world, and we pray that those will continue to improve. Be with those who are sick and with those who are grieving, for their loved ones who have passed on. It's our prayer that we as your people will grow in love, in wisdom, and in commitment to your cause. Forgive us when we fail you as we repent of our sins and as we forgive others when they sin against us. We ask that you bless our study. We pray that everything done here tonight will be done for your glory alone. We love you, Lord, and we humbly ask this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We're grateful for those who are listening. I'm thankful to have Brother Royce. He was here for our very first broadcast, and we was privileged to have Brother Brian Braswell for the next two. And so, Brother Royce, it's good to have you back.
It's good to be back.
I'm glad that you're here with us. I know that we're going to have a great study. I hope, pray, and trust that we're already turned to chapter 3 of the book of Philippians. We have been in the first two chapters and having a great time talking about some of those gems that are found in this great book. And chapter 3, Brother Royce, is not going to be any different. It's a very power-packed chapter. As we were talking before we went on air, you was discussing with me how it began with rejoicing and ended with rejoicing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And when we consider that, you know, I was thinking about this great book and have done studies in it over the years. And one of the things that I really appreciate is that some 16 times the word rejoice or joy is used in this particular book. That's four times per chapter. And that's powerful in and of itself. You know, if you're, you know, analytical in mind and you want to jot down some of the numbers or how many times a certain phrase is used, that's something good to get into. Also, I took notice, Brother Royce, is that the phrase "in the Lord" is used 9 times. Did you want to make a comment on that?
No, go right ahead.
And, you know, you consider, you know, chapter 1, verse 14, chapter 2, verse 19, chapter 2, verse 24 and 29, chapter 3, verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, and verse 4 and verse 10. And so, in the Lord is interesting when you look at all of those particular phrases, 9 phrases. It's almost like Paul is telling a story inside of a story and looking at those particular ideas of in the Lord. But in verse number 1, I found it very interesting, especially notice, let's read that together, Brother Royce. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For to me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. And the more I thought about that, I thought about, you know, the Apostle Peter, our brother in Christ, and how he said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 16, that as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I don't mind reminding you of the things that you already know, the established truths. And Paul, he was patient with his brethren. He wanted to tell them the things that they needed to know. And the reason why he said that, Brother Royce, he says, for you it's safe. You know, when you think of being reminded of the established truths in our lives, the things that don't change, the doctrines that don't change, that's safe for us. What would you have to say about that?
Well, first of all, you know, one of the things that I'm reminded of, and yes, we were talking about this just a little bit before we started, this book is a powerful book. I've always loved Philippians simply because, you know, the Apostle Paul, you know, a powerful penman here via the Holy Spirit, and you find here a book that from the beginning to the end is a book that was designed to encourage people. And we live in that day and age where we need that encouragement. But he says, rejoice in the Lord. One of the things I've noticed right now, and especially so right now, is that people are not finding the right place for their joy to be.
That's true.
It's in the Lord. We live in a world where people are trying to find their happiness and everything else. And right now, unfortunately, because of this coronavirus and all this, people are having a hard time finding a place for their joy. And so when you look at that, they're not finding it because they're not finding the place to find it in. That is in Christ. And if you notice, we'll go down to verse 3. Guess what? Rejoice in Christ Jesus. He was very deep in this. And then, like you pointed out, notice this thing, for me to write the same thing to you. In other words, for me to remind you of this.
That's right.
You know, the mind is a powerful thing, but sometimes we need remembrances brought, don't we?
That's right.
You know, first day of the week, Jesus says to do something in remembrance of me. What was that?
Lord's Supper.
The Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. We need that regular remembrance. And that's what Paul was talking about here. Not the Lord's Supper, but to remember something here. And he uses a term, the King James uses the term grievous. Mm-hmm. The New King James uses the word tedious here. Now, the word itself comes from a Greek word that you can look at and you can think in terms of being backwards or sluggish, mm-hmm. or slothful, or even to the point where Paul might say, it's not a burden to me to do this. This is the right thing to do. You need to be reminded. Why? It's for your good.
That's right.
It's for your safety. And I was looking up that word safety, and it's the idea of being firm or certain or true. Well, you know, when you stop and think about the word safe, you know, if I'm safe in something,
that's right.
If I'm safe in my understanding of God's word, then I'm firm in that. I have my certainty in that, and it carries with it the idea of suited toward confirmation of the truth or something of that nature. So what he was doing here is he was giving them something to anchor themselves in.
Right.
He was giving them that which they could squarely put their feet into, and I thought that's one of the marvelous things to me about this section.
And for that reason, you look at verse number 2, he says, beware of dogs.
Yeah.
And really, you think about everything that's going on in our day and time now. We have to be aware of the fake news. We have to be aware of things that's going on around us. Well, Paul is warning those in those Philippian brethren in the church, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. Of course, we understand that Paul is dealing with those religious teachers who were trying to get the Philippians, of course, to identify with Judaism.
Correct.
Watch out for that. Don't do that. Well, it's the same for us today. We have to be aware of those who are bringing fake news, if you will.
Okay.
And because when you consider the gospel of Jesus Christ and how pure it is, this is why it is safe to keep reminding one another. You know, like when you and I are talking on the phone and we're talking Bible, we're actually reminding each other of what the Bible says. And we leave that conversation encouraged. Well, it's the same thing. Paul is encouraging these brethren, beware of that. Why? Because if you don't, you're going to find yourself being mutilated, if you will,
okay.
In a spiritual sense.
Yes. And of course, when Paul says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of as the King James would render it, the concision, or here the mutilation, which is actually a really good word for our day and age, the mutilation. He's using figurative language. He's not talking about literal dogs.
That's right.
He's talking about the false teachers of that day and age. And as we get deeper into this, we'll understand he's talking about Jewish teachers.
That's right.
And things of that nature. So his readers would have understood these things. And he's teaching them, remember, with the idea of reassuring them here in verse 1. Beware of them. Be cautious of them. Be aware of this, because they can destroy you.
And keep that in mind, Brother Royce, because when you consider that point you just made as it relates to the Jewish teachers, he comes right after that and he says, for we are the circumcision.
Yes.
And as you was talking, it kind of reminded me of Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. Let's read that real quick, because Paul, again, inspired by the Holy Spirit, makes that same point. He says, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Well, how is one circumcised under the law of Moses? Well, they were circumcised the eighth day. The foreskin of the male organ was circumcised. But in Christ, Colossians 2, verses 11 through 14, the circumcision is in baptism.
Correct.
And so the Spirit's teaching guides one into baptism by way of the gospel. And next thing you know, they have sin severed from their hearts.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. So he's talking very much in figurative language and metaphorical terms. We are the circumcision. In other words, spiritually speaking here. And so he really makes that sharp distinction between the Jew and the Christian. Because remember, this all goes back to Philippians chapter 1 and exactly who he's addressing here. He says to all the saints in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
So he's writing this to Christians, and he's making that clear distinction between the Jew and the new, if you will, the new circumcision, the Christian, the child of God.
That's an excellent point, Brother Royce, and something that was just given to us by way of text message, an excellent point. You think of the mutilation, the wicked men. Well, those Judaizing teachers, they were not on God's side.
No.
And when you're not on God's side, you're on someone else's side, because there's only two sides to be on. And so here we understand that these wicked men were actually trying to get the Philippian brethren to go away from the Lord. That's the last thing that we want to do.
Correct.
And so when considering the circumcision of the heart, no wonder he goes into his pedigree, verses 3 through 6, Brother Royce.
Yes.
And in that pedigree, and I don't really want to spend a lot of time here, but it's interesting in verse number 7, Paul says in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Now, this pedigree that Brother Paul brings up, Royce, is interesting, is powerful, because these were the things that he identified with. And so we have to ask ourselves a question. What do we identify with? What makes us who we are? Is it our job? Is it our social status? Is it pride, prestige? Is it the power that we have? And is it the degrees that we have? What are we identified with? And Paul here says that, well, I want to gain Christ. I count those things as dung to win Christ.
Okay.
And so the question we have to ask ourselves, and I believe we need to continue to ask ourselves this question all the time. What am I willing to give up that I may win Christ?
Okay. And we had a question come in via the text, and it's a really good thing there, is make that distinction between the concision, the mutilation, as opposed to the circumcision, which is almost like a skillful surgery.
That's a great point.
And when we're talking about that circumcision of the heart.
Yes.
There we're talking about the skilled surgeon of deity, as opposed to the mutilation of the evil false teacher that destroys and tears apart rather than precisely cuts and cleans away and gets rid of the part that's not wanted anymore.
That's an interesting point, and I'll be honest, I haven't considered that. And the reason why I say that is because when I think of, remember Zipporah, Moses' mm-hmm. wife, and remember when Moses failed to circumcise his sons, and she had to take a rock and circumcise her son, I'm pretty sure that wasn't pretty.
No.
But when one is baptized into Christ and they have sin cut away from their lives, it's always pretty. Why?
Yeah.
Colossians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, we understand that the operation of God is taking place. And when one goes down in the watery grave of baptism, we understand that God always operates well and he never loses anyone on the table.
That's a good point. That's an excellent way to put it. And we know that what's cut away is always only the sin.
That's right.
He doesn't cut away that's what's already right and good.
That's right.
He only exposes that which is right and good and discards the evil.
And another excellent point, we better move on because there are a bunch of excellent points in these points.
Yeah.
But in the circumcision made by hands, it's always bloody.
Okay.
But when you think of baptism, the blood is already there in the water. We just got to go down in it.
There you go. That's good.
Oh, man.
That's a good thought. That's an excellent thought.
Amazing. That's powerful. I appreciate that comment.
Yeah, I do too. That was a good one.
We better get back to the study. That's how, you know, those comments make these lessons longer and longer. But it's interesting that Paul says in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now, notice what he calls him, Brother Royce, my Lord. I love that possession, that possessive attitude that Paul had there. He said, that's my Lord.
Okay.
He's my ruler.
I think that's a great point. It really is. I think sometimes people fail to realize that this is a relationship.
Amen.
You know, this is not just a cold, impersonal thing. Christianity is not impersonal. It is very personal.
Right.
I've had people tell me before that, well, it's not personal relationship. Well, if it's not, what am I doing in it? Why am I here? But yeah, you look at these things and I don't want to spend, I'm kind of like, I don't want to spend too much time in this pedigree of Paul, but if you stop and look at this and if anybody could have boasted, he says, if anybody could have had confidence in the flesh, I'm more so, but he doesn't do that. He looks at it like it's not important. That's the last thing. As we go through this, notice when he uses this term dung in the King James or rubbish in the New King James,
mm-hmm.
that word is powerful
it
in
is.
Itself.
It is.
Because it carries with it some powerful meanings in and of itself. Let me look at that word real quickly here. If I can find it again, there it is right there. It carries with it the idea of refuse. Even the excrement of animals,
mm-hmm.
offscouring, dregs, anything that is worthless and detestable.
That's right.
That's how he looked at his past life.
That's right.
Why? Because there was something greater in Christ.
That's right.
And he could see that.
And we see in verse number 8, he wanted to gain Christ.
Yes.
Verse 9, he wanted to be found, not according to his own belief system, not according to the righteousness which was of the law of Moses. The law was holy, according to Romans chapter 7, verse 12. A lot of people, they missed that point, Brother Royce. The old law, it was bad. No, law was holy. Well, and we know it was holy because it came from God.
Yes.
You know, the problem with the old law that it reminded you and it demonstrated to you the sin problem that you had, but it didn't have anything to do what? Justify you. God put that blood element in there, that forgiveness element in the law of Christ. Okay. But in verse number 10, he wanted to know him. That was an intimate relationship. He wanted to know the fellowship of his suffering. He wanted to be conformed to his death. And I really believe that's where the struggle is. Because to be conformed to the death of Christ, what Christ went through, Brother Royce, is powerful. He should have died at the scourging.
He should have.
Most men did. If anything, he should have died going up Golgotha's hill. Most men would have. But Jesus made it to the cross, and 6 hours later, that's when he died. It's finished. And so Paul wanted to know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed unto his death. And it caused me to think about Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. And this is just something good for the brethren put in their notes, because we understand that Christ is our life. He's our life. And when Christ comes back, our life, then we will appear with him in glory. So when we die to ourselves, when we die in baptism, we come up to walk in the newness of life. We are a new creature now. And so we have to die to self. And one thing that I see in Paul, Brother Royce, that he was mastering as life went on, dying to himself. And that's hard. It's difficult. And it takes years and years of practice, years and years of motivation. And it takes the motivation and the encouragement of brethren. And so Paul understood that he wanted to be conformed to the death of Christ.
Okay.
That is a struggle for everybody. It's going to be a struggle for us if we're going to be what God wants us to be. We had something come in just a moment ago, and this kind of backs up a little bit, but I thought it was an excellent point. I wanted to bring this out.
Go ahead.
And it stated that we have a responsibility to cut straight when we're talking about cutting away. And the reference was to 2 Timothy 2:15, mm-hmm. study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, when we do that, we're going to cut away that which is bad, and we're going to cut away that which is evil only to expose the good and the right. And we're going to be able then to divide correctly the word of God, handle right the word of God.
Right.
And so we look at that and we realize that's kind of the process, in a sense, if you will, that God uses on that spiritual circumcision of the heart. He cuts away properly. And so I wanted to throw that in because that was a good thought that came in while we were talking about that and didn't have a chance to look at it before we left that point. But you made an excellent point there. I appreciate that.
The question we have to ask ourselves is, what are we willing to give up that we may gain?
Can I rephrase that a little bit?
Sure.
You asked the question, what are we willing to give up? How about this? What shouldn't we be willing to give up?
That's a great question.
You know, we ought to be willing to give up everything. Because we stop and think about what did Jesus give up?
His life.
He gave up everything. He gave up literally the glories of heaven to come to this earth. All we have to do is back up just a little bit in the book of Philippians, where it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery," that is, a thing to be grasped or to be tenaciously held on to. Mm-hmm. But what did he do? He says, made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a bondservant or a slave, and coming in the likeness of men, found him in being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You look at that. Jesus gave up the glories of heaven. He was in absolute pure spiritual form.
That's right.
And he was willing to leave that for you and for me. So that was a powerful question, asking, what are we willing to give up? Well, I ought to be willing to give it all up. And if not, why not?
That's a great question.
Why not?
And the reason why is found in verse number 11, Brother Royce. If by any means I may attain. I may attain. The idea of attaining there is to come to arrive at.
Yeah.
The resurrection from the dead. The more I think about the resurrection, the more joy I get in my Christianity. And the reason why I say that is because one day, John 5, 28, 29, there's going to be a resurrection. Jesus Christ is going to come back according to 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 11 through 16. He's going to come back with a shout, the voice of an archangel, and those in the grave are going to hear his voice and going to be raised. There's going to be those who are going to be raised to eternal life and those who are going to be raised to damnation. And so here, Paul said, I'm doing all of this that I may attain.
I might arrive.
I want to arrive. And look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Brother Royce. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I believe it's verse number 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 19. I was talking to Brother Stephen about this today because it's beautiful to know that all of the work that Christ did, all of the work that the apostles did, and in this particular case, the Apostle Paul, there was something that he was looking forward to, and we ought to be looking forward to it as well. He says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you at the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy." That is going to be a great day, that day at the resurrection. That's going to be the day that we can really say we have arrived.
Yeah. And look at what the rejoicing that Paul was talking about here. His rejoicing was even at the Thessalonians being there and them having arrived too.
That's right.
And notice this. What have we been talking about from the very start? Rejoicing.
Rejoicing.
Look at what he says here. That's a great verse you brought in here. For what is our hope? Listen, our joy, our crown of rejoicing. See, he uses terminology here that fits in perfectly with what we've been talking about here in Philippians 3.
That's right.
Rejoicing in joy and this idea of attaining.
Which brings us to verse number 12. Let's talk for about 2 or 3 minutes, and then I believe that Brother Stephen will have a couple words for us again. He says, "Not that I have already attained." And now in verse number 11, he says, "That I may attain to the resurrection of the dead or from the dead." He says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." I love that language there because the language there is suggesting that I'm laying hold of Christ because he has already laid hold of me.
Yes.
And so here's the question. Have we allowed ourselves to lay fully upon Christ, to lay hold of him? Because when we were baptized into Christ, he laid hold of us. He waits on us to grow. And so as we're growing, we ought to lay hold of him tighter and tighter. And it's that idea of Hebrews chapter, is it chapter 2? I believe it's Hebrews chapter 2. I didn't study this today, but I'm thinking about it now. In Hebrews chapter 2, yes, there it is. Therefore, we must, verse number 1, give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. I think the King James Version says, lest we let them slip. Let them slip. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast and every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The idea of drifting away there is the idea of a small little boat and how the waves or the undercurrent, it is literally causing that rope that it is tied to the stake to slowly come loose. When we ought to be holding tight, we hold tight to Christ. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We hold tight to the commandments. We don't let them go, Brother Royce.
Right.
And so what do you have to say about that, Brother Royce?
Well, I mean, and you go back to this whole concept that you know, Christ is our anchor. He's that which makes us steadfast and sure. That's where we ought to be hanging on. And I like the expression here where he also says that not that I've already perfected or perfect. There he uses a word, teleos, and it means complete. He knew he wasn't fully there yet.
Right.
And then he uses a word, press. I press on. In other words, He pursues.
Yes.
And if you're pursuing something, he's laying hold of it, and you're laying hold of what? He's holding hold to Christ, who laid hold on him.
That's right.
So if Christ went to the trouble of laying hold on us, how can we not do the same in return?
That's a great point.
How can we not?
Brother Stephen, you have a couple words for us?
Yeah, we want to take just a moment to give you our contact information in case you just tuned in. If you have a question or comment you'd like for us to address live on the air, or if you have a interest in setting up a Bible study, or you'd like a copy of tonight's lesson, we can meet all those needs. You can text us at 325-284-8182. That is 325-284-8182. Or you can email us at BibleStudy@kwoj.org. We've been getting lots of comments and questions tonight. We really appreciate that. So back to our study.
We are very appreciative of those comments and questions. We hope, pray, and trust that you will have more, and we'll get to them as soon as we can. So thank you. Brother Royce, I consider verse number 13. He says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." I was very interested in that phrase, forgetting those things which are behind. And one thing I love about the Bible, the Word of God, is it's a living book. It's not like your average newspaper. It's not like any type of magazine. You know, you read it once or twice and you get a few things. God's Word is not like that. The depths, the riches is amazing, Romans chapter 11. But that phrase, forgetting those things which are behind, the idea of behind there, Jesus would use this particular word in Matthew 16:24 when he told Peter, "Satan, get thee behind me," or "get thee behind me, Satan." Literally, the idea of get it out of my sight. Now, you think about what Paul here is saying, forgetting those things which are behind, that past life. The context here is powerful because he's going back again to his pedigree. Well, we have more problems keeping our past in front of us. The idea of get thee behind me, Satan, get behind me so I can't see you.
Yeah.
Now, notice what he says, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I believe that this probably settles some of the depression that some people have. Might not take care of it from a clinical perspective, but just putting those things behind you and leaving it there. Have you repented? Have you confessed? If that's the case, put it where God put it.
You know, one of the hardest things, and it took me a long time as a young preacher to understand this, and it literally took a pretty wise Christian woman to help me understand this, and I was talking with her about some problems that her husband was going through, and she said, "You know, one of the hardest things that I've found that I found true with my husband," I won't use his name on the air, but that he has a hard time forgiving himself.
Yes.
And his problem was he couldn't put some of his past behind him. And that's one of the things that Paul, and see, Paul wasn't necessarily putting all the bad stuff behind him. Oh, yeah, we know what he did as far as persecuting the church.
Yes.
We knew what he did, but he considered himself, told Timothy, he considered himself to be chief among sinners.
That's true.
But he in the context, it was his Jewish pedigree.
Right.
He said, even that, put that behind me. I'm putting that behind me so that he could do what? Reach. And that is that idea of stretching
That's
forward.
Right. Every fiber of your being.
Every bit of your being to reach forward. And when you stop and think about that for just a moment.
Yes.
And I can relate because I'm not a very tall man. Okay, have you ever had to reach for something really high up on a shelf?
Yes.
And it took all your stretching to finally get to it? That's what Paul's talking about. So you put that behind you so that you can reach, so that you can stretch and put all that you have. And I do have one thing in here that fits in, actually, with what we've been talking about. And guess what? Fits in here, too. He says here, or Brian points out here, none of this can happen if we don't all walk according to the same rule. There aren't different rules for everyone. We must follow the one rule of God's word.
That's right.
So you put all of this in context with that. Hebrews 2 was a good point, by the way, he brings out.
And Hebrews chapter 12, for our listeners, verse number 1 and 2, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Hebrews 3 and verse number 19, we understand that the sin, and he's not talking about you have a sin, I have a sin. He's talking about the sin of unbelief.
That's right.
And really, what keeps us from really stretching unbelief?
Mm-hmm.
Unbelief. We have to believe God's word that is true. But that goes back to the point that I don't know who made it with the 2 Timothy 2:15, but we have to study. And that takes time. And we have to be patient with one another and let people come to those conclusions. But we got to make sure that we're trying to come to the conclusion that God has given us. He says, which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. That's who we're stretching out after.
Okay.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the what, Brother Royce? The joy. Was that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so when we consider that stretching, a point was given when an Olympic sprinter crosses the finish line, they're reaching so far forward that they almost fall.
Yes.
I mean, and they're putting all of their chest forward. And that's what we ought to be doing, putting our best foot forward all of the time to the point that it hurts us. Mm-hmm. You know, and I use that in a very metaphoric sense. But here we understand that Paul, Brother Royce, says, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press.
Yeah.
I press.
And notice what this is. It's the first time this ever jumped out of me like it has right now. The idea of reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Paul had already said putting those things behind.
That's right.
Get rid of that. What's ahead of the Christian? Mm. Eternal life.
Yes, sir.
What's ahead for the Christian? A home with God throughout eternity. You know, so we are doing that stretching, and it is for that which is ahead. And yes, I press toward the goal.
And notice what he says there, Brother Royce. He says, I press toward the goal.
Mm-hmm.
The Greek word there is skopos. You know, the scope.
The scope.
You know, but the scope is not the focal point. It's what's in the crosshairs.
Okay.
Okay? And so when you have your rifle, you have your scope on top of your rifle. The scope is important, but you want to be able to hit what's in the crosshairs of the scope. And so we understand that it's the scope for the prize.
Okay.
For the prize. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 24 through 27, let's turn there real quick and let's take notice of some words that Paul gives us. He says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the what? The prize. The prize. And then notice what he says, run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is self-controlled, temperate. And how many things? All things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus, I fight, not as one who is beating the air, but I discipline my body, bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. And so the prize there, it caused me to look even deeper. Here, we understand, and as I was thinking about this, Brother Royce, I'll let you make a comment here in a second. The inheritance is what we're laboring for. We understand that, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. We understand that. But can you imagine that Jesus Christ is going to be presenting us before God one day? And he's only going to be presenting the ones who is faithful, without spot or blemish, the one that is holy, the one that has temperate themselves, disciplined themselves, self-control. We have passages like Ephesians 5, 27, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 2, where he says, I present you as a chaste virgin. So what are we doing? We're working and honing these skills right now. So on that last day, 1 Corinthians 15, 23, he's going to present the kingdom to the Father. We want to be part of that. But we're not going to be part of that if we haven't forgotten those things that are behind, if we're not reaching forward, and if we're not pressing. Okay. And this is a daily grind, Brother Royce, a daily grind.
It is. It's a challenge. And when you stop and think about it, would we want it any other way?
No, sir.
I mean, you know, anything that's worth obtaining is worth working for.
That's right.
If it's worth having, you want to put some energy into it. And so, you know, if everything was easy, there'd be no value in it. And I think that's the part about Christianity that makes it interesting, is that yes, sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's tough, sometimes it comes with blood, sweat, and tears to get it.
That's right.
But it's worth the price in the end. It's worth what we put into it. It's worth that pressing and that stretching.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me give some of these passages that I was considering today as I was just doing some final thoughts. I gave the 2 Corinthians 11, verse number 2, presenting the church as a chaste virgin.
Yeah.
Ephesians 5, 27, presenting her as a glorious church. Colossians 1, 22 and 28, presenting her as holy, unblameable, unreprovable, perfect in Christ. I really love this one. Jude 24, presenting her faultless. Faultless.
Faultless.
Let's stop and consider that. We're always talking about, I know we sin. Well, go ahead and tell us everything we already know. But one thing, one day, we're going to be presented faultless, blameless, which means that an accusation can come up against us, but it won't stick.
It won't stick.
Why? Because of the blood of Christ. Why? Because we've repented. Why? Because we're living according to the Spirit's teaching, Galatians 5:16. That's where we want to be, and that's the forgetting, the reaching, the pressing.
And in those things, when you stop and think about it, Brother Mike, in those things is where we're going to find that mercy and the grace of God that then completes that faultless or That's blameless right. State.
That's right. And in these, Brother Royce, as I was looking up some of these things, in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 8, the idea of forgetting, Jesus would use it, and I used it earlier, get thee behind me.
Yeah.
The idea of reaching, the idea there is the stretching out toward. Jesus would be transfiguring in their sight. The idea there is so powerful because as Jesus is transfiguring, he's changing his state. They're holy. He's holy before them. They see him in his essence. And isn't that what we're reaching for? We're reaching for that essence,
mm-hmm.
that holy mindset. And so, and then the pressing is the figure of speech of one running a race, Revelation 12 and verse number 13. In the negative sense, we have that dragon, the devil, as he was running relentlessly after the church, trying to destroy her. You know, he's still trying to do that even today.
Oh, absolutely.
He's trying to destroy us. I want to plead to my brethren, don't let the devil destroy you. James chapter 4, we ought to be drawing near unto God. He'll draw near unto us. If we submit, therefore, to God, resist the devil, what will the devil do, Brother Royce?
He'll flee from you.
Don't let the devil destroy you. Don't let him destroy you with gossip. Don't let him destroy you with lying. Don't let him destroy you with unbelief. Don't let him destroy you with anything.
Yeah.
Stay close to the Lord. That's the only safe spot we have. A lot of us, we're in our homes, and we need to be, unless we have to essentially go somewhere. But even in your home, you can allow Satan to do some work on you.
You can.
I was talking to a friend today, and we was talking about how people are in their homes. And I thought about some of those families that they struggle getting along with each other. I think about some of those children that are abused, and they're in the home and they're being abused verbally or physically all day long. I think about all of these things that's going on. I hope that's not going on in our Christian homes. And if it is, we need to repent. We need to get along with our spouses. This is our time to really dig deep into our spiritual lives, Brother Royce. And we do that by doing what? Pressing toward the mark. And we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. Go ahead, Brother Royce.
And I would just say this, that this really ought to be a time where we can refocus.
That's right.
Because, you know, what was the first institution that God ever created?
Home.
The home. That marriage bond in which the family unit would begin. If you're having problems with your family, now is the time to fix it.
That's right.
Now is the time to look at it. If you're being abusive to your wife or your children, or if you're being abusive to your husband, and now is the time to fix it. It's time to get things right with God.
That's right.
So, absolutely.
Well, when we consider what we're doing just right now, we have to make these lessons applicable. And hopefully there's someone that's listening that can actually get something out of it. We stop and we consider the next few verses, Brother Royce. We have about another 13 minutes or so. Verses 15 through the end of the chapter. Notice what he says. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything, now notice this, you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Three times we see the phrase, let us. And we consider walking by the same canon, the same rule. Brother Royce, we really need to plead with one another that we're speaking the same things.
That is a fact.
And we consider Jesus Christ, let me back up, we consider the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, they're one. It may take a little work for you and I to be on the same page at times, but for the most part, we're always on the same page.
We're on the same page.
Same mind. Here, Paul uses the word rule as the idea of a reed, a standard.
Correct.
We understand that this canon, it goes according to the standard that God has given us. And here he tells them, let us walk. The idea of walk there is the idea of lifestyle.
Yes.
Our teaching, our preaching, everything about us, the way that we operate our homes should be based upon the same canon. We have different personalities. We understand those things are different. However, the same word, husband, love your wives, same standard, right? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. Same standard, same canon.
Same standard, yes.
Let brotherly love continue, Hebrews 13. Same canon. We consider these things, and we ought to be walking by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. And if we're not, there's going to be some issues. I'm not talking about just in Christ, but in the world that we live in.
That's true.
You know, and that's the problem that we're seeing. And we don't want to get too far into that, brother, but the Word of God, I heard Mike Pence say something today, and he said, we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. And I took a step back. I'm like, I had a little smile on my face. Anytime I hear God's Word, I get a little happy.
Yeah.
Well, here, that should be our attitude. Well, what if I do pass away? What if someone does pass away? Is it going to hurt me? Yes, it's going to hurt me, but I got to stay with the standard. One day, we're going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you rule over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. That's what we're striving for. Yeah. And if we get out of here a little earlier, that's fine. Get out of here a little later, that's fine.
That's fine, too.
I'm just trying to get out of here alive.
That is. eternal life.
That's it. That's the only life that counts.
That's exactly right.
Go ahead, brother.
And you look at this, and he says, to the degree that we have already attained, he's already made it clear further back up that he had not completely attained, hadn't already attained completely, but to the degree that we have. Notice what he says. He says, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. Doesn't that sound a little bit, at least a little bit, like 1 Corinthians 1:10?
Yes.
Be of the same mind and of the same judgment.
Same judgment.
As Christians, we ought to be teaching the same thing. We ought to be walking by the same rule. That is God's law.
That's it.
People ought to be able to look at you and me and Stephen here and every Christian, be able to say, you know what? That's a Christian because I can tell by the way they live, the way they speak, by what they teach.
That's right.
I can tell by their lives they are.
That's right. That's a great point. Notice what he says, verse 17. He says, brethren.
I love this one. Go ahead.
I know, man. This is amazing. Join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even crying, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Brother Royce, you want to give some commentary on that?
Thank you. Yeah, I do. Listen, you know, it's a realistic thing here because, folks, we can go to the Bible, passage after passage. Look at Ephesians 5:11.
Yes.
Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. You go to other passages like Romans 16:17. Mark those who cause divisions. Like Titus chapter 3 and verse 10. Like 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we're have so many places in the Scriptures that warn us about the false teachers and to beware of these people. Isn't it a marvelous thing here that mixed in? Yeah, he's going to also talk about those that he had to talk about, even weeping that they're enemies of the cross. But he could actually give us words of joy and exhortation here. Join in following my example and mark or note those who so walk as you have us as a pattern. You know, we have people that we can look at in the body of Christ, in the church, that we can look at and say, that is a faithful child of God that I can pattern my life after.
That's right.
That person right there, whether it be a male or a female,
that's right,
is a faithful child of God, and I can walk after that. I can see that. And I can only imagine what it must have been like to have been able to follow in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul.
Yes.
And be able to say, wow, what a faithful child of God. I know he wasn't perfect. You know he wasn't. He knew he wasn't perfect. But can you imagine? Because he was the one who wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, imitate me even as I also imitate Christ.
That's right.
And so wouldn't it have been great to be able to walk in his footsteps, following him, and be able to say, now there's a pattern I can follow after.
It sounds like Paul was the type of man that when he made a mistake, he manned up.
Yes.
And he got it right.
Oh, good point.
And so he was perfect in that sense.
Yes, and he was complete in that sense.
Can you imagine if a husband or a wife or a child, the family unit, if they would just own up to their mistakes, just own up to it. And so here we see that there were some men here that Paul said didn't own up to their mistakes.
Exactly.
And the reason why is because at one time they walked. But now I tell you, crying.
Yeah.
Now they're enemies of the cross of Christ. And one thing that I want to be careful with, and you should want to be careful with, and Brother Stephen and anybody who's listening, that if you're a teacher or a gospel preacher, an elder, you want to make sure that you're walking according to the pattern, because one day we don't want to be crying that you're not walking.
Exactly.
Now, we live in a postmodern mentality now. Well, that's just the way they see it. That's hogwash.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that we're walking according to the pattern. There's only one pattern.
Yes.
And we need to be speaking the same things. If not, why not?
Yes.
And so here, Paul says, whose God is their belly. Whose glory is in their shame. Who set their mind on earthly things. Hold on. I thought our minds were supposed to be on spiritual things. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 5, Colossians 3 verses 1 through 4.
Yes.
You know, I thought our mind's supposed to be on those things that are above, not things on the
earth. Not things on the earth.
And so here, apparently they got caught up with some men or some people or some prosperity. Something went on. But notice what he says here in verse 20. And I know we wanted to get to this particular point because we need to.
We do.
For our citizenship is in heaven. It's unfortunate that we even have some brethren saying that our citizenship is on earth. That's false.
It is.
I'm not looking forward to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 17, and the earth being the place where I'm going to spend eternity. That's not where we want to dwell. As a matter of fact, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse number 10, Brother Royce, notice what the Bible says there. In 2 Peter 3 and verse number 10, there the Bible says this, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hasting the coming of the day of God, because which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, in which what? Righteousness dwells." Paul says in Philippians 3 and verse number 20, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's in heaven. Mm-hmm. He's in that place where in Acts 1 verse number 8, that cloud took him, mm-hmm. where Daniel in Daniel chapter 7 verses 12 through 14 prophesied that cloud would take him. Before the Ancient of Days, it was given to him dominion, glory, and a kingdom. That's where he is, and he's going to come down from there one day. That's where righteousness dwells. It doesn't sound like it's going to be a place down here, Brother Royce. Am I reading it wrong? Well, please tell me.
You're not, because if this earth was going to be ultimately heaven, then he would be here.
That's right.
In some sense, he would be right here. And notice real quickly here, did a little bit of study on this concept. In this text here, 10 and following, it talks about earth and it talks about elements. The word earth there comes from a word that means arable land. Soil, land, or ground.
That's right.
The word elements here is the natural universe. Now, put those in context with what is going to pass away, what is going to melt with a fervent heat, what is going to be burned up, what is going to be dissolved. And again, melt away, fervent heat. All of these are terms that mean to loose or to break up or to dissolve.
That's right.
Every one of these.
That's right. That's a great point. We think about what Paul is demonstrating there. And look at verse 21, Brother Royce, who will transform our lowly bodies. The Greek, King James uses the word vile.
Vile.
The idea of moral littleness, if you will. That it may be conformed to his glorious body. He's going to transform this human flesh. You remember what John said in 1 John 3, the first three verses? He said, we don't know what we're going to be as, but mm-hmm. we're going to be as he is. This is the same John that saw Jesus after his resurrection. And so since he saw Jesus after his resurrection, and now in 1 John 3, he says, we don't know what we're going to be as. It also tells us that apparently there's going to be a change of body. And so we're looking forward to that new body. Brother Royce, you want to close this out? I think we have about another 35, 40 seconds.
Well, I would just say this real quickly. We're all proud, I think, in at least in some sense of our citizenship here. We're Texans,
yes.
or some people come from other parts of the country that have moved here.
Yes.
We're proud of being
Americans
and all
yes.
that. But folks, that pales into comparison. Pales in comparison to our citizenship that is going to be in heaven.
We thank y'all for studying with us today. We love y'all. Stay home. Stay safe. Do what is right according to the will of God. Go to those places that are essential. May God bless you. May God keep you. The Ninth and Main Church of Christ loves you. God bless.